Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to Top of the Morning on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel. For today, we will continue with our ongoing series of emerging markets-related conversations. Today, we will spend some time specifically on positioning considerations. I am joined on the line today by Donald McLaughlin from the UBS Chief Investment Office. Donald is an emerging markets strategist with the Americas. With that, Donald, welcome back to Top of the Morning. Thank you for dropping by and for spending some time today with our clients.
Good morning, Dan.
So with that, Donald, I mentioned positioning. Can you bring us up to speed a bit on CIO's view when it comes to emerging market debt, and then speak a bit to where are benchmark spreads at the moment, and maybe what are CIO's year-end forecasts?
Yes, of course. We currently have a neutral stance on emerging market debt. Spreads have tightened by around 70 basis points over the last 12 months, and that includes a 60 basis points correction since mid-April. So absent that, the spread compression would have been closer to 130 before that, right? Still, valuations still look moderately expensive, and we are actually forecasting wider spreads by year-end. To have an idea, J.P. Morgan sovereign debt benchmark was trading this morning at around 380 basis points. We expect 400 basis points by December. The corporate benchmark closed yesterday at 264, and we're calling for 325 basis points by year-end. However, our base case is very far from discouraging, and actually we strongly believe that there is room for emerging market bonds in a diversified fixed income portfolio. Actually, we think that the spread widening we forecast is probably to compensate for expected lower yields down the road rather than a reflection on the higher credit risk. We think that emerging market U.S. dollar-denominated bonds can deliver mid- to high single-digit returns through year-end. Actually, we believe that sovereign bonds could offer around 8% through year-end, while corporate bonds are around 7%. They still look attractive. Prospects for a weaker dollar, U.S. policy rate cuts should support the asset class. We remain of the view that U.S. inflation will eventually trade lower over time as, high level of interest rates eventually weigh on economic growth.
So, Donald, you shared with us CIO's constructive view for emerging market debt. I'm curious, when it comes to notable risk considerations associated with that view, what should investors here be mindful of?
Yes, of course. I mean, everything carries a risk. First thing that comes to mind is, the risk of higher tensions between Iran and Israel. That's already triggered some anxiety. However, even if the risk of escalation has increased, our base case is that a major direct confrontation between Israel and Iran can be avoided. The war in Ukraine remains a source of risk. China-U.S. relations as well. In addition, we are concerned about, negative growth and inflation shocks in the U.S. or other key countries. Softer commodity prices, that's vital for emerging markets, and or rising defaults, whether in developing or developed markets, as that could trigger flight to safety to the detriment of emerging markets. Now, within the asset class, the state of the Chinese economy is a major factor. Elections in Mexico may pose a risk, although we expect a status quo based on current polls. Hopefully, a bit of a tweak where it comes to government-owned entities. We are hoping for some improvement there, as the current path may lead to Mexico eventually losing its investment-grade status, which is maybe a 12 to 18 months risk. Then we also have a possible deterioration in the fiscal picture in Brazil and political dynamics in Peru. Those are two sources of concern. That said, Moody's revised the outlook for their Ba2 rating for Brazil to positive yesterday. So maybe that possible deterioration may be manageable, right? Now, in addition to that, we now believe that lower-rated Argentina may avoid a hard debt restructuring, which could in turn offer support to the asset class. I want to highlight that my colleague Pedro Quintanilla Dick published a note on this on Monday. It's called Argentina Avoiding a External Debt Restructuring Looks Increasingly Likely. And then further, you know, and then also on the positive side as well, the primary market activity has been robust year to date. Emerging market sovereigns have raised about $80 billion. That's an important figure. Emerging market corporations have raised about $100 billion. And encouragingly, we've seen a good participation of lower rated high yield issuers. However, we believe that selectivity is very important in the current climate. So if looking for single securities, I suggest you stick to the stronger names.
As far as gaining exposure in particular for investors U.S. domiciled, what kind of guidance can you provide us there, Donald?
Yes, of course. I mean, the U.S. is a very restrictive market. U.S. domiciled investors have fewer options where it comes to investing in emerging markets. However, they always have available to them mutual funds. If looking for single securities, government debt, most of U.S. states waive blue sky requirements with respect to debt issued by governments with diplomatic ties with the U.S., so there's plenty of that within emerging markets. We also have SEC-registered bonds, which is mostly a Latin American thing. You don't see that in other regions. And, Latin American issuers that register with the SEC, they include industry and sector champions with global scale. You find a few of, number one, number two in the world in their respective sectors. They have a sound credit metrics with a strong corporate governance standards, many of which they are investment grade rated. And those that are not could carry higher credit ratings if domiciled in an investment grade rated country, right? So I think that overlaps with a CIO's preference for quality. There's quite a bit of that. Their management teams have a proven track record in handling the different phases of the economic cycle. The bulk of their revenues are either in U.S. dollars or U.S. dollar linked, so currency mismatch risk is relatively low. And many of them have very credible environmental frameworks. That's a feature of growing importance in current days. And with that in mind, we created an emerging market bond list for U.S. investors that is updated on a weekly basis and is available on CIO's portal. The list includes valuation and fundamental CIO's views for about 500 sovereign and corporate emerging market bonds from almost 30 countries. All bonds are in that report are blue sky compliant in most, if not all, states in the U.S. And also want to highlight that we currently have three investment themes tailored for U.S. domiciled investors, right? We have the short duration Pan-American bonds, which we created jointly with our U.S. fixed income colleagues. Then we have the yield opportunities in Latin America, which is mostly corporate debt. And then we also launched our top picks for U.S. investors, which includes sovereign and corporate bonds.
Well, Donald, thank you for highlighting those resources. I will point out to our listeners, especially our clients of UBS, you can locate those resources cited by Donald up on UBS.com/CIO. For clients of UBS, simply reach out to your UBS financial advisor if you would like to receive copies of these resources directly. Though, Donald, thank you for dropping by Top of the Morning today to keep us current on CIO's views and positioning guidance when it comes to emerging market debt.
Thanks, Dan. Nice talking to you.
Likewise. Thank you, Donald. Again, today we have been joined by Donald McLaughlin, Emerging Market Strategist for the Americas with the UBS Chief Investment Office. From UBS Studios, I'm Dan Cassidy. Thank you for joining us.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investor investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.